To worship and the study of God's Word. This is today's Modern Worship on WMIE FM 91.5.
Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lucier, and the message today is titled, Are You a Wise Man?
Grace, salvation, joy, love, and every good gift be yours today in Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. We're in the season of Epiphany, and at this time of year, we especially look at that story of the wise men that came from the east following on account of the star to come and fall down and worship Jesus. Now, on the Wednesday night services, we've looked at this as well a bit. I'd like to have a fresh look at it and look at a special angle at the story in Matthew chapter 2 today and ask especially, how does this relate to us? How are we like the wise men? And most especially, how does God encourage us today by the story of the wise men that came from the east in our own calling in Jesus Christ, that we can be encouraged in it? Let me ask you a question. Do you think that God encourages you by means of this story in Matthew chapter 2, the wise men? Or did God just have it written down in Scripture because he's a good historian? What do you think? Wake up. Well, Romans chapter 15, verse 4 says, whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, so that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. So God definitely didn't just write this down because he wanted to just record what happened. He wants to encourage you and me by it. So how does God encourage us and our own calling in Christ today by means of this story of the wise men? Let's read it and then see what God teaches us by it. So, a refresher here in Matthew chapter 2. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, they opened the Scriptures, to Micah chapter 5, and found this. They said, it's in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it's written by the prophet, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will govern my people, Israel. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them at what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go, search diligently for the child, and when you found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. Of course, he wanted to murder. When they heard the king, they went their way. And lo, the star which they'd seen in the east went before them till it came to rest over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. So there's the story. How does God encourage you and me in our calling in Jesus Christ today by means of it? Well, first of all, let's just ask, who were these people? Now, tradition has it that they were kings, but that's just tradition. That's not Scripture. They were actually wise men, which was of a special class of people in those kingdoms of those days. Same class that Daniel was in out there in Babylon. The class of the king's counselors, the wise men, in some cases the magicians and sorcerers, men of insight, men who searched and inquired about knowledge and the wisdom of things. It was these men that were coming and saw the star in the east, and they were from a far distant land. We don't know exactly where, and I think Scripture is purposefully vague about that. So it's the land of the Gentiles, out there somewhere in far distant country away from Israel. So who do we have here? These people were non-Jews from a far distant country way off in the east somewhere. Very important. These are the very first people that God ever called to His Son, namely Gentiles, that God called to His Son to come and worship Him after He was born. And so that's, you know, to prove that they were not Jews, think about when they came to Jerusalem and talked with Herod, what did they say? Where is he who's been born king of the Jews? They didn't say, where's our king? Or where's the king of us Jews? But where's the king of the Jews, of those other people? We've come to worship their king. And so these are Gentiles from a far distant country. How does that encourage you? And what's God saying to you today by means of this? Well, we could think to ourselves, we're Gentiles, right? We are not descendants of Abraham. We are not of his blood, of his lineage, of that country of the Jews. In fact, I looked it up this week. How far are we from Jerusalem? From Orlando, if you're going to fly to Jerusalem, it's 6,558 miles. So we are Gentiles, not from the east, if you will, but from the west. We are from a far, far distant country, quarter of the way around the world. And we're Gentiles. What right do we have to partake of the blessings of the Jews, of another people, of a far distant country to our own? Think about it. We take it for granted as Americans that everything should really belong to us. But really, according to Scripture, it doesn't. It belongs to the Jews. The promises of salvation are theirs. Genesis 12, God said to Abraham, to your descendants, I will give this land. And listen to what David says about the Jews in Genesis chapter 12, in 2 Samuel chapter 7. He says, what other nation on earth is like thy people Israel, whom God went to redeem to be his people, making himself a name and doing for them great and terrible things by driving out before his people a nation and its gods? And you did establish for yourself your people Israel to be your people forever. And you, O Lord, did become their God. So what nation is like Israel? What nation is like the Jews? They were called, set apart, to be God's own people, and of their race is the Christ. They have the covenants. They have the worship. They have the promises. They have the patriarchs. They had the Ark of the Covenant. They had the temple. They had the worship. And that was not for us Gentiles for a long, long time. You know that even when Jesus came and he had a Gentile woman came up, she had a daughter who had a demon. And she wanted Jesus to cast it out. And Jesus says to her, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And it's not fair to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. That's Gentiles. Gentiles are dogs. We're foreigners. We're outside of God's people according to pedigree, according to race, according to blood and descent, right? And Jesus said to that other, to the Samaritan woman in John 4, you, Samaritans, worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. So what right do we have, then, I ask, to partake of the blessings of a people far distant from ourselves in geography and far distant from us in race? Well, we really don't have any right to come to these blessings according to our pedigree, according to our blood, according to descent, or according to what country we're from. But God says, see here in this story, I encourage you today in your faith, because you're Gentiles from a far distant country, but see here, I call these Gentiles from a far distant country, and I call them to come and worship and fall down before my Son and be saved in Him. And so do you see that, you know, you are from the outside, the camp of the Jews, but God didn't call you by race. He called you by grace to come and receive His Son. Paul says, and let's look at this in Ephesians chapter 2. Remember, you Gentiles out there, remember that you were at that time, formerly that is, separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants, having no hope and without God in the world. Does that sound like where you want to remain? Be a stranger? A foreigner to God? Alienated and also having no hope? Think about that on your resume. I have no hope before God. Here's my resume, God. I have no hope. But God says, I call them and I call you, Gentiles from a far country. And Paul says, now in Christ Jesus, you, Gentiles, who once were far off, have been brought near in the blood of Christ. For he's our peace. And he has saved us and reconciled us to God through his cross. Therefore, you're no longer strangers. You're no longer foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. So are you encouraged already in this? Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, and therefore preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, and you, Abraham, shall all nations, all the Gentiles, be blessed. And so Luther said, it's truly a disgrace then for the entire Jewish land and people that the Christ was born in the midst of them, and they should first learn of it from a strange heathen and foreign people, him whom his own would not seek or acknowledge, nor the inhabitants and citizens. This strange foreign people sought in so many days rejoicing. So where are you from? The north? Michigan? Minnesota? Are you from the south? You can't get much further south than here. From the east? Are you from the west? Are you Gentiles? Are you dogs? Are you alienated? God says, see, here I encourage, be encouraged. I call them, I call you to be saved as a gift. I invite you to my son. Secondly, we can be encouraged in this story here today because God gave to the wise men a star in the dark night sky to call them to himself. And has God given to you a star too? Let's talk about their star first. What kind of star did they have? It appeared in the east. And then what happens? It vanished. And then they come all the way to Jerusalem. It's still not seen. And then they go on their way to from Jerusalem to Bethlehem, and it appears again. This is a star that vanishes, appears, vanishes, appears. You've seen stars like this before? Very different kind of star. Very unique is this one. It's a supernatural star. Also, it wasn't seen in the west. Notice when the people from the east, the wise men, came and they said, we've seen his star in the east, and we've come to worship him. What did Herod say? What star? I've never seen a star. What is this? What are you talking about? Any of my wise men seen a star? We haven't seen a star. We've seen in the east. But Herod had to summon them secretly and ascertain at what time did this star appear? Because I need to know secretly, he's thinking, who to kill and how many to kill, because I need to know the date of this man's birth. Another thing is, think about this. When they came to Jerusalem, it was not seen in Jerusalem. Then they travel from Jerusalem to Bethlehem, 6 miles, like here from here to Merritt Islands, and the star appears. And the wise men see it, but Herod doesn't. How is this possible? It's a very special star. It also traveled. Most stars, all stars we see, I hope, go from east to west, right? If you see stars going another direction, come and see me for counseling. But this star goes from Jerusalem, leading them down to Bethlehem. That's north to south. Have you seen a star going from north to south? While the others are tracking this way, this one's going this way. And also, it went before them and led them to an exact street in the town and to an exact house in the town till it came to rest and stopped moving and said, right here, this is the house. Worship the son that you find in this place. He is the king. So, supernatural star, would you say? They had their calling confirmed by God because they were given a star. I want to ask, do you have your calling affirmed to you because God's given to you a star? Supernatural? One unlike any other star? What star do you have? Jesus. Yeah, Jesus is a bright-minded morning star, it's true. But think about this. A light in the dark sky. The Word of God. Listen to what we read in Psalm 119. It says, that Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Is this Word a light to you? We also read in this Psalm, it says, forever thy Word, O Lord, is firmly fixed in the heavens. So this is a star, a light set forever firmly fixed in the heavens for the wise men out here to see this star and let it inspire, lead, and guide you to the Christ that you can fall down and worship him. And is this a supernatural star? That star was unlike any other star. Is this book unlike any other book? Jesus says of this book in John chapter 10, Scripture can't be broken. And in another place, it's easier for the heavens and the earth and even the stars of the sky to cease to exist than for one dot of this book to become void. Peter says of this book that no prophecy ever came by the impulse of man, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Paul says in his letter, it's God-breathed, every word of it, and it's profitable for you as a Christian growing up in Christ. And John in John 20 says, Jesus did many other signs which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. So let me ask you a couple questions. Is this a light?
Yes.
Yes. Is it forever firmly fixed in the heavens like a star?
Yes.
Yes. Is it supernatural?
Yes.
Yes. And does it actually move and actually lead you, like it says right here, these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ? Does it move until it comes to rest over Jesus Christ and there point and say, this is the one, believe on him, he's the Savior, he's the King, fall down and worship him? Yes. And are you Gentiles from a far off country?
Yes.
And you have a star and it's leading you to Jesus Christ and you have come to him. So rejoice, this confirms your calling, because the star in the old days confirmed their calling, that God was indeed calling these men. And our calling is even better than theirs, because they just had a star in the sky, a light, as great as that is. But we have a book in our hands which tells us a whole lot more than their star of old told them. Because here in this book, it not only points us to Christ, but tells us all about his kingdom and all about the good news of salvation in him for our fullness of knowledge. So rejoice, confirming your calling, O Gentiles from a far country, to be saved in Jesus. Thirdly, we can be encouraged today by the story, because God gave the wise men a star, but he also gave them eyes to see it, whereas it was not given to others to see that star. If you look at the story, did everybody come from the east to worship Jesus? You'd have hordes and millions of people, but the star was seen in the east only by these wise men to whom it was given to see it and to understand what it meant. They said, we have seen his star. We understand and know what this star means. And also, when they came to Jerusalem, remember, they had to tell Herod about the star. What star? I don't know. I haven't seen any star. Any of my wise men seen a star? We haven't seen a star. Come, tell me secretly, when did the star appear? He didn't see it. And then they leave Jerusalem on their way to Bethlehem, and the star, which had appeared in the east, appeared again. And it led them down to Bethlehem, 6 miles away. Now imagine if this were Herod's castle right here, and Jesus is born over on Merritt Island. And you leave here right now and head over to Merritt Island, and you see a star, and the king over here on the beaches does not see the star. That is a very special star and a very special sight. They were given to see it, whereas certain people, it was not given them to see. Do you think our Bible is like this? Our star? Do you see the light of this word? Do you see it? Do you understand it? Is it given you to see this word? To understand it? To believe it? To discern what it's telling you? To let it point you to Christ and to move and follow and obey and keep to where it's going? Well, you know, a lot of people look at this book that I'm preaching from today, and they say, it's a book like any other book. It's not special. We don't see anything great about it. We don't read it. It's just something that Gideon's put into, you know, the hotel rooms. It's an ancient story. It's a myth. It's a fantasy. It's filled with errors. It's unreliable. It's untrustworthy. It's irrelevant. It's not true. And so it's not given to them to see it. Your calling is confirmed as wise men because you see this star, which other people don't see all around you, and you understand it because the Spirit gives you understanding in these things. Even in Jesus' day, the people couldn't see the Word, the light, and the star, Jesus says to the Jews, you search the scriptures because you think that in these you have eternal life. But they are bearing witness to me, pointing to me, yet you refuse to come to me, that you may have life. They were blind guides. They couldn't see the light of the word. You don't believe, Jesus says, because you don't belong to my sheep. And Jesus even had to open the minds of the apostles there in Luke 24 to understand the scriptures. Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name to all nations beginning from Jerusalem. So even the apostles, this book is closed, it's locked, it's sealed until God, if you imagine having a big key, he puts it into your heart, turns the key, opens your mind, opens your heart, opens your eyes, and you're like, I see the star. The wise men saw it, and Herod couldn't. You see the star of the word, and others can't. This is confirming your calling, because it's only given to those who are called and drawn to be able to see this word. So do you believe the light of this word? Do you see it? And do you hold it fast? You know, if you're having trouble seeing the light of the word, get into it. Pray. Read it. The more you're in the scriptures, the clearer your vision becomes, like in LASIK version, whatever, surgery. But the further you're away from it, the longer you're away, the dimmer and more hazy it becomes. So get into the word and see it and rejoice in it and take heart in it. For what do we read of these guys, the wise men? When they left Jerusalem, the star appeared before them and they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy when they saw the star. So fourthly, I would say this, that you can be encouraged today because they knew what the star was for. They didn't worship the star, they rejoiced in it, but they were worshiping Jesus Christ. Is that how you look at the book? When I was in another Lutheran denomination for a while, they have a much lower view of Scripture, and I felt like a fish out of water because I have a very high view. I believe this book is inerrant, without error. It's infallible. It guides us to the truth, just as Jesus says, Scripture can't be broken. But you know what they said of Missouri Synod Lutherans like you and me when I was over there in that camp? Heard with my own ears. One of the students said, those people in the Missouri Synod Lutherans, they worship the book. They have such a high view. They worship the Bible. You know what? We do not worship the Bible any more than the wise men worship the star that was over their heads. But we do, like they, rejoice with exceedingly great joy. It's the light. It's the word. It's lightening my path. It's inspiring me. It's leading me. It's calling me to seek. But it leads us to Jesus Christ. And when this word, and we read in these pages, and it comes to rest over Jesus Christ, him, we do fall down and worship. And that's the purpose of this book, which confirms again your calling, because you're worshiping the right person, the King, when you're worshiping Jesus Christ. And so the wise men offered gifts, and they went on their way by a different way back to their own country. And when we see Jesus Christ, as Richard Sohr said this morning, we don't leave the same way. We go back by a new way, a new life. When we've come to see Jesus as our Lord, we're on a new path and under God's perfect protection. But I want to ask you this question as we're getting toward the close today. Have you received his gifts, though? Listen to the gifts that this King comes to bring you, because I know you have received them. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus the Lord. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him, Jew or Gentile, whoever believes should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the apostle said in Acts 11, then to the Gentiles also God has granted eternal life, a repentance unto life. And Romans 9 says, God has made known the riches of his glory for the vessels of mercy, which he's prepared beforehand for glory, even us whom he's called, not from the Jews only, but also from the Gentiles. So be confirmed today in your calling as wise men following the star. And have you already seen Jesus Christ? What do you say? Are we at journey's end? Wise men from the east? Well, we have seen him by faith, and that means salvation, but we are also still on our journey. So we need to resolve ourselves this year and for the rest of our lives to be in this Word, to keep the star ever before us, to rejoice with exceeding joy, to live it, to obey it, to learn it, to follow it closely, because it's leading us, friends, until that day when we'll get to see Jesus at the end of our journey, face to face. We should be like Don Quixote de la Mancha in that great musical where he says, "This is my quest, to follow that star, no matter how hopeless, no matter how far, to reach the unreachable star." And it is said of us in Scripture, in prophecy, "You wise men from the East, from the Gentiles, from the faraway country, not of blood, but called by grace to Jesus Christ, that this is what your journey's end will look like." Revelation 22, you're going to see this. "There shall no more be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, in the city of God and the kingdom. His servants shall worship him, will fall down and worship him as the wise men of old. His name shall be upon our foreheads, and we shall see his face, just like they did at the end of their journey. And night shall be no more." And in that country, they don't need any lamp of light or sun or stars anymore, or even the Word to guide them. "For the Lord God will be their light, and they shall reign forever and ever." In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called "Are You a Wise Man?" A broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lucier. And if you're looking for a church home, or if you'd like to stop by and just visit, our services are 8 and 11 a.m. on Sunday, and Lenten worship services are at 12 and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the Recreation Center. If you'd like to hear more messages or leave a comment on this one, please visit our website at christlutheranchurchcapecanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul, and God bless you.
Let the nations sing it loud.